This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, TV critic for the New York Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. Mos Def first became known as a hip-hop artist and continues to do quite well in that arena. His 2004 CD, The New Danger, was nominated for a Grammy. But he's also made a definite impact as an actor. He's worked his way up from bit parts on the TV shows The Cosby Mysteries and NYPD Blue, and hosting and co-producing HBO's Def Poetry Show, to major roles in some ambitious, very diverse films. His parts have ranged from the intense surgical student in Something the Lord Made and the band leader in Lackawanna Blues to the alien from outer space in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He's appeared in The Monster's Ball, The Italian Job, and The Woodsman, and right now is hitting movie screens in two new films simultaneously. One is Dave Chappelle's Block Party, in which Mos Def takes the stage as one of the performers at Chappelle's Film for Posterity celebration. The other film is 16 Blocks, in which Mos Def co-stars with Bruce Willis and David Morse. Willis plays Jack Mosley, a cop who's trying to escort a witness safely across a short but dangerous stretch of New York City to testify, while others are out to prevent his arrival. Mos Def plays the reluctant, understandably wary witness, who, after dodging several bullets, also dodges his escort. The cop finally finds him on a subway platform, but the witness no longer wants to cooperate.
Hey!
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
What do you want from me? It's too much, man. Look, I'm doing residence on my own, okay? I'm doing what I said I was going to do. I'm getting out of here.
If I can find you, they can find you.
Eddie, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm your only friend out here, all right?
You're my friend.
I can do this. Listen to me.
You don't even know me. Then get me where? You're going to get me shot. Ever since I've been with you, people been trying to shoot me. People you know. Look, man, I got someplace I need to be. I got something I need to do. And unless you're going to shoot me or arrest me right here, I'm going, Jack Mosley.
Yeah, let you leave.
You understand? Thank you, Jack Mosley. I'm going.
You cannot
Thank
leave.
You. Yes, I can. Thank you, Jack Mosley. Stop. Don't do that. Stop.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going. Let me come here.
Stop.
Hey!
Terry Gross spoke with Mos Def in 2004. Before we hear their conversation, let's listen to something from his first solo CD, Black on Both Sides, recorded in 1999. This is his rap, Mathematics.
It's dangerous to dream, but your chain cats get they chip back. You dead now. Killing fields need blood to graze the cash cow. It's a numbers game, but don't add up somehow. Like I got 16 to 32 balls to rock it, but only 15% of profits ever seen my pockets. Like 69 billion in the last 20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear. Like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black. That's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crap. 16 ounces to a pound, 20 more to a key, a 5 minute sentence here, and then you're no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone, so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right, you were not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the terror dome. Full of hard niggas, large niggas, dice tumblers, young teens in prison greens facing life numbers. Crack mothers, crack babies, and AIDS patients. Young bloods can't spell, but they can rock you a PlayStation. This new map is with my ass. You wanna know how to rhyme, you better learn how to add. It's mathematics.
Mighty most deaf.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I'll revolve around science.
What are we talking about here?
Mighty most deaf.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out.
What came first for you, acting or music?
Well, it's like, you know, what comes first, your left arm or your right arm? It's like, they were, for me, from my experience, they were happening simultaneously. I was a young kid in the choir.
In church or in school?
In church.
Mm-hmm.
And in school. And, you know, when we would go for recess, I'd be in the schoolyard with my friends and my crew, and we'd be rhyming. And that continued all throughout my school career. When I was in class, rehearsing for a play, when it was time for lunch or after school, you know, it was time to write rhymes or listen to music. And it was just that seamless.
I want to play some music from your latest CD. It's called The New Danger.
Yes.
And this CD is kind of brings together hip-hop and rock. I thought we'd play a track in which you actually sing.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah, and this is called The Beggar.
Oh, cool. Thank you. I love that song.
Yeah, I like that too. Say a little bit about the song. And
well, it's a song that I wrote with my band Black Jack Johnson. It's really organic. I mean, the drum line. We were just in the studio and Will started playing this really, that pattern. And it started as a jam session, and then everyone started playing together, and then I ran into the vocal booth and just kind of laid the lyrics down in two takes, and that was the entire song. What we looked at, we listened back to it. It was like, this is awesome. We loved it. I love it just for the simple fact that Dr. No, who's so well known for his electric guitar work, is playing such beautiful acoustic on the song, and it was just really one of those magical moments that everybody talks about having or wanting to have during a recording, and we had several of those that are on the record, and some that aren't, but that's one that I'm really proud of. And I'm glad you're playing. Thank you.
Woman, you know I love you. Woman, you know just how I feel. Try to tell me that you don't know. When I know you know the deal. Woman, you know I love you. Woman, you know I care. Hey, you try to say I'm running game. You try to say, baby, you don't play fair. Oh, darling, if there's any in your mind, I want you to be sure. Hey, if you don't ever cheat me again, I want you to be sure that I love you. Oh, girl. Oh, baby, I love you. Darling, I love you. Hey. Oh, darling, I love you. Hey. Turn the lights down low.
What was the music you grew up with?
Everything. From church hymns to rock radio to hip-hop, of course, to dance hall and reggae and everything. I love music.
What was in your parents' record collection that exposed you to music you might not otherwise have heard?
Well, my parents weren't really huge record collectors, my mother or my father. My dad is a lifelong musician. He played piano, still does. Sang in Newark Boys Choir, and he and a close friend of his, educator, had a group called Voices of the Folk, and performed all of the early work songs, the slave songs, and the chain gang songs, and things like this. And when I was a young boy, I learned all of these songs, and as I got older, they let me perform with them. So everything that I learned about music, my relationship to American music comes from that, because so much of that is really like the genesis of blues and rock and roll and everything else that we know and love and misunderstand today. So I count that as like my musical education, those songs. But I just had a curious mind, you know. I wanted to. Yeah, I used to go to record shops, and whatever cover art appealed to me, I go, or what titles appealed to me, I picked them up and I'd listen, and that's how I, you know.
That's great.
Spent a lot of my allowance.
what's one or two of the more unusual or ridiculous records you ended up buying solely because you like the cover art?
I had great success. I never was really disappointed. I mean, I brought Brilliant Corners
by Thelonious Monk. Yeah, uh-huh.
Because it was that five-sided picture.
Uh-huh.
I bought, of course, every Miles Davis album that I could get. And I bought people and names that I was curious about that I hadn't heard. I wanted to know who John Coltrane was. I wanted to know who Miles Davis. I did a lot of, you know, research on my own as a teenager, just listening to these people for myself. It's like someone telling you, you know, you got to go get this book. So I went to the library and checked out these books.
What led you toward jazz? Since it sounds like I know you were listening to everything, but certainly what your friends were mostly listening to was probably, you know, rap and hip hop, and that was probably what you're listening to on the radio. So what led you toward jazz?
It just always been around, you know, my uncles and you know, elders in my community would turn it on, and it appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I heard it on the radio, I remember listening to BGO, it appealed to me, the images of those men like Miles or Dexter Gordon, or they just appealed to me. I guess it's the same reason that, you know, people that I picked up on rock and roll, because, you know, Jimi Hendrix is Dylan, or, you know, anyone else that, you know, any of the legends, or, you know, just seminal iconic figures are very attractive spokesman for the music. So you become interested on the basis that, you know, this collection of personalities or just figures. And that's what jazz was to me. It was this strange, attractive new world for me to go into. And I just dove in. I wanted to know, and I didn't come with any sort of expectations. I didn't know if it would be something that I liked at all, but I gave it a shot, and I loved it.
Mos Def, speaking with Terry Gross in 2004. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's 2004 interview with actor and hip-hop artist Mos Def. He co-stars in the new movie 16 Blocks and appears in Dave Chappelle's Block Party. Here is Mos Def performing with his hip-hop group, Black Star, from 1998.
Is illusionary. Raise my son, no vindication of manhood necessary.
Not strong.
Only aggressive.
Not free.
We only licensed.
Not compassionate. Only polite.
Now who the nicest?
Not good, but we'll behave.
Chasing after death so we could call ourselves brave.
Still living like mental slaves. Hiding like thieves in the night from life. Illusions of oasis making you look twice. Hiding like thieves in the night from life. Illusions of oasis making you look twice.
I'm sure that everybody out listening agree that everything you see ain't really how it be. A lot of jokers out running in place, chasing the style. Be a lot going on beneath the empty smile. Most cats in my area be loving the hysteria. Synthesized surface conceals the interior. America, land of opportunity, mirages and camouflages more than usually. Speaking loudly, saying nothing, you confusing me, you losing me. Your game is twisted, want me enlisted and your usury. Foolishly, most men join the ranks cluelessly, but foolishly accept the deception.
A lot of performers who are extraordinarily charismatic on stage are actually really shy in public life. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you were ever like that too, if you were ever...
I was painfully shy.
Really?
As a child. Like, you know, with like physical symptoms, the tightness in the chest, and just it was very, very shy as a child. And, you know, I wanted to make a connection with, you know, the rest of the world, but I was just, you know, very reserved and not quite sure at how to do that.
Now, tell me a little bit more about your childhood, where you grew up. You grew up in Brooklyn?
Yes.
What was the neighborhood like?
Well, I was born in Downstate Hospital in Flatbush, and I was raised in Bedford-Stuyvesant and in Roosevelt Projects. And then when I was around 9 or 10, moved back to Flatbush. And I'm a Brooklyn resident to this day. And I love my city. I feel blessed and lucky to have been born in a magical place on earth called Brooklyn.
What makes Brooklyn magical to you?
Well, I mean, it's everything. I mean, you know, Walt Whitman working at the Brooklyn Eagle.
Is that a newspaper, the Brooklyn Eagle?
The Brooklyn Eagle was an abolitionist paper in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. It's just rich with history.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the New York experience on a very homegrown level. It's not metropolitan New York, and it's family-based. People who have been there, people who are there have been there for a very long time. You know, myself included in my family. So it's home in every sense of the word. And it's just got dynamic things. I mean, from the bridge to the Brooklyn Children's Museum, it's the first children's museum in the world.
I used to go on class trips to that museum.
Fantastic places in Brooklyn. The library, the botanical garden, Prospect Park. It's so much there. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Now, among the things that you do, among your talents, is that you also play instruments.
Yes.
Several of them. Bass, vibes, keyboards, percussion?
Yeah, I play bass, drums, keys. I can figure my way out on most instruments. I'm not good with any wind instruments at all. I tried to play the trumpet, and I quickly gave that up.
You know, a lot of people worry that because rap so often samples music, as opposed to having live musicians playing behind them, that...
I think that's a misconception.
Do you? Because a lot of people worry that young people aren't learning instruments anymore.
Because the Sugar Hill Gang is the seminal. I mean, there is no hip-hop without them, and that was a proper session band as much as the Muscle Shoals session band or the Motown session band. All of those... Curtis Blow records, all of those Sugar Hill records that people hear are live musicians playing. The element of sampling is actually a phenomenon of the budgetary cutbacks in the school system. And when I was in public school as a grade schooler, and there were music programs that were there and that just mysteriously disappeared. And that creative impulse was still in the community, but there was no outlet for it. There were no places for young people to go to learn to play instruments, and parents could not afford to even do that for their children. So this generation made do with what was available, which was their parents' records, and they made their own songs or versions of those songs, because that was all that there was available. Nobody was saying, play this or play that. And in the mix of all of that, there was still a lot of... what that created was it created connoisseurs. It created these young people who were becoming knowledgeable about music via the advent of sampling. So you would go to a guy's house, and these guys have hundreds and hundreds and sometimes thousands. I know guys with thousands of records from everywhere, of every stripe and variation that you can imagine, because they're all, as Africa Vambaataa said, looking for the perfect beat, wherever that may be. And I've heard some of the most fantastic, exotic, obscure, amazing music in the basements and homes of hip-hop producers. And sampling is not as easy as people would imagine. But, you know, to quote, Fidel Castro had a great quote after he was captured in his first attempt to overthrow Batista. He's in his prison cell. He said, "History will absolve me." So whatever misconceptions that people have about the culture or its origins, before it's all done, people will understand it clearly. I'm confident in that.
Mos Def, speaking with Terry Gross in 2004. He's appearing currently in two new movies, performing in Dave Chappelle's Block Party and acting opposite Bruce Willis in the action drama 16 Blocks.